hide away in the love of Jesus. Hear him calling your name. See the depths of his love in the wounds of his grace. Hide away. Hide away in the love of Jesus. For 10,000 joys await you there. Hide away in the love of Jesus.
Well, let me welcome you to our service today. We've returned to our live streaming and not having a congregation. That's out of our choice. The government is allowing churches to be open for worship, but you received an email earlier in this week, which I explained our position. We rejoice with the fact that there are a number of churches who will be opening today, but taking in our local environment here, we did feel it was the best and wisest decision for a few weeks just to go back to the live streaming without a congregation. Do bear with us as we continue to make our decisions and as we will reassess the situation. Clearly the rate of infection is rising. I wouldn't be surprised that the government might make a stronger restriction and may well even close churches in the future. But as it stands, we will reassess, and if it's possible for us to be open and safe to do so, we will definitely be doing so. Do be praying for us, and it will be helped to make those decisions at the right time. So we're going to continue this morning as we share together and go through our time of worship. We're going to read from the scriptures. You have received the order of service. So if you have your Bibles open at Romans chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 35 to 39. So you can follow us at home and read as we read here. Romans chapter 8, and it's verses 35 through to verse 39. Well-known verses that we may be familiar with in all sorts of contexts, and we can read them now. And so let's do so. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, may that be our knowledge, our affirmation, our assurance, knowing that love. And we're going to be speaking about love later on as we return to 1 John and chapter 5. But just now, we're going to continue and pick up that theme with our first hymn, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So we'll sing that together, join in at home as we participate in this wonderful hymn, acknowledging God's goodness to us and his provision for us. Let's sing How Deep the Father's Love. The more we reflect upon the work and the nature of the cross, the more we are amazed, are we not, at the God's wonder, God's love, God's grace. And we thank him, and we thank the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to participate today in acknowledgement of all that he's done for us. We're going to pray before we continue in our service. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts do rejoice today in the majesty of who you are, in the glory of your name, and the wonder of your world. And as we look around, we can see every evidence of the created order. We know that sin marks our world. It disfigures it. It is broken, but creation does declare something of who who you are, the psalmist is able to say that the heavens proclaim your glory. This world carries the signature and the marks of the great designer, you, the creator God. By your word, these things came into being. So we praise you for who you are and what you have done. We worship and honor your name today. But we thank you, gracious God, for the most amazing thing that you have done for this world, a world in sin and brokenness. But you provided the answer for our dilemma. You've given us hope because you've sent your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to be among us, not as a fleeting, visiting angel, not as a overshadowing spirit, but you came, the second person of the Trinity, the God-man, fully God and fully man, among his creation with his people. We thank you that you went to the cross. You died the death that you did, but that you were raised from the dead and that you have defeated Satan, sin and death itself. And that we can live today in the light of that definitive, unrepeatable victory and know blessing today and hope for tomorrow. Lord, engage our hearts this morning that we will praise, worship, and honor you. Touch our spirits, lift our hearts. May they exalt in our King and may you be glorified. Lord, we pray for the day that we are living and we thank you that we are free to meet this morning. We pray that as we've chosen to meet in the way that we are for this short period, that you will help us just rest in you. We pray that we will know wisdom in all our decisions that have to be made, and that we'll be able together in meeting in the near future. In the meantime, we pray for our community, the many sacrifices that are being made on a daily basis, for businesses in the area that may well be struggling, for the physical and mental welfare of people both in the church and in the neighborhood here. Lord, we commend these things to you. You are the God of all the earth. You are saying something in this massive pandemic that is throughout every point of the compass. Lord, we pray that we will be listening carefully to what the God of heaven is saying. May our hearts be softened before you, a holy God, that we will do all the more to love you and know you. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for our health workers as the rate in the virus rises and hospitals come under pressure. We pray for help in facing the day, and we particularly pray for our Christian care workers who will be able to witness maybe to your enabling and your equipping to face the stresses and the strains of the moment. Lord, help them as they will be anxious, but come alongside of them, minister into their hearts, and may they be a light in these times. We thank you for all others who are going about their tasks so that we can be supplied with all that we need in living through the day that we are. We do pray, Lord God, for our leaders, both in national and local government. We pray that they will act wisely and, despite political differences, work for the good of the nation as we continue to face the virus and its effect. We pray, Father, for our church family. Lord, you know all our needs, and we quietly wait upon you. We pray that spiritually we may be strengthened, that you may equip us for the day to face whatever we are as individuals or families and with differing circumstances. We do thank you for your word. We pray now that you will give us wisdom as we share together. We pray that we will have heart preparation, not only to hear your word, but to be doers of it. And so we commit our time to you. Watch over and help, and may you be glorified, for we ask these things in and through your precious and most worthy name, the name of our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Well, all I would say is again, welcome. And we pray that you are feeling blessed as you share at home, as we share in the service here. God willing, next Sunday, we will be meeting again for the live streaming at 11 o'clock. So do be ready for that. All the information will be received in the course of the week. But also, we will be having a Zoom evening next Sunday. We look forward just to having those every now and again, at least it looks like one a month for the foreseeable. And God willing, this coming Sunday evening, the 17th, we're going to have Dave Willis from Oral Park, who's going to be sharing in a devotion with us. So we look forward to that. And then in February, I think it's the first Sunday evening in February, we're going to have Andrew Shepherd. He will be sharing from God's Word, as well as the ministry he's involved in, Fountains of Peace. So he will be doing that in February. But next week, Dave Willis for the evening. So do look out for that and join as you are able. Now we're going to turn to the Bible and we're going to read in the scripture. You will know that we're turning to 1 John chapter 5 and we're going to read the first five verses and focus in on them today for a short period of time. It's 1 John and it's chapter 5 and it's verse 1. So you'll have your Bibles open there in some form or another, I'm sure. Let me read to you, and let's then focus in on what God might be teaching us this morning. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world, except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, here we are, drawing to a conclusion of our studies in 1 John, and we're in chapter 5. And so this morning, these five verses, and then God willing, next Sunday morning, we will conclude looking together at this book. So we haven't been in here for two or three Sundays as we stopped with regards to Christmas. So let me just remind you as to what we've been learning so far in this book. The church, of course, that John is writing to is trying to work through the fact that there are now those who have been among them that have left them. Those who seem to be followers and believers, but now they've gone and they've revealed their true colours. And John will say in chapter 2 that if they had really loved the people of God and really loved God, they would have remained. But actually, now that they have gone, they have shown just the reality of what their faith was, which was not in God. They have that their belief in Christ is disfigured, and now they have gone. And so John is writing to this group of people who may be a little bit confused, maybe doubting a little bit, and wondering, where is the truth, and who has the truth? And John has been reminding them throughout these chapters, and he's been repeating himself, that the true followers are those who remain. Those who will love God, those who will love God's will, those who will love one another, those who will love God's truth. Those are the evidences, kind of three tests that appear right throughout the book, as some commentators have noted them. The three tests, and he doesn't stray from those in these opening five verses. In actual fact, he combines the three markers. What are they? There's the social test. Do you love God? Do you love one another? Then there is the moral test. Do you obey God? Do you love his law and so want to do it? And then finally, there is the doctrinal test. Do you believe truth? Those are the three elements that John has been writing about throughout these five chapters. And as we've indicated, he brings them together in these five verses, and these elements will be material to what he says here, which is that if you are to be overcomers, then these will be the elements that will be ever present. So we're going to just see those three things in this text. And the first thing then is what we believe. Verses 1 and 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What we believe about anything affects everything. If you believe that the virus that we're facing is a total hoax, that it's the means of government controlling its people, then if you hold to that narrative, it will impact what you do. If you believe that that the vaccine has a microchip in it, which will then track people, that will influence your potential refusal of the said vaccine. A poll in America, if we can believe the polls, this was about July time or somewhere, suggested that 28% of American people believe that Bill Gates wants to use the vaccine to plant microchips in people. Now, we may think that's a ludicrous and silly thing, but if you hold to those outlooks and those beliefs, then that's going to influence your behavior and your interaction with others. So what we believe is important. And here, John, in these two verses, verses 1 and 5, is asserting and establishing that belief in who Jesus is will be fundamental in everything else that the church does. And so we really do need to have clear views as to who Jesus is and who Jesus was. In general terms, we apply ourselves to knowledge, do we not? We might do that for education purposes, keep learning. It might be for recreational interest, a hobby, and we just want to add to our knowledge pool on that particular hobby. It might be because we just want to win the family quiz, and the more we have of trivia knowledge, that might help us. So add to your knowledge by all means. But we would do better if we are those who profess and love Jesus Christ and love God, to explore, to study, and to consider all that we know about Christ. Maybe we could write down a whole book about what we know about. When I was a kid in school, it was stamp collecting I did. I can't believe that I did that. But I guess I could have written down a whole heap of information about what it was to collect stamps. But it would be better if I could write a whole lot more about the cardinal truths as to who Jesus Christ is. And so let us explore, let us influence our hearts and minds, set our affections on those things. So I think we need to get the main things in place as to who Jesus is: his deity, his divinity, his sinlessness, all of those elements about what the New Testament teaches us about who Christ is. We will have dispute and we will have questions and discussions about various things in Scripture. We might raise objections now and again and wonder about this and that. But let me just encourage you, certainly have those discussions, certainly have that those debates, but really nail down those great truths of who Jesus Christ is, because that's the foundation that will enable you in every area of your life. And what you believe then is going to have remarkable influence upon everything else that you do. And John is very, very clear. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ has been born of God, and to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, those are some of the areas that the false teachers, those that have gone out, they are actually failing to apply. They are limiting who Jesus is. They are questioning the very validity of Christ's person. And so that will, in time, have a diluting effect upon one's life to the extent that we see them here. So always be adding to your knowledge as to who Jesus Christ is. What do you believe? It might be an exercise. Just to get an exercise book, right at the top of it, what do I believe about Jesus? And just see, well, what do I believe about Jesus? And then once you've written that down, you maybe need to go to scripture, see, well, what does that marry? Is that harmonizing with all that the apostles taught and Jesus said of himself? Well, let's keep applying ourselves to these things. So the first thing is there what we believe is of great importance. The second thing is how we love. So verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Lest we think all we have to do is fill our heads with information about who Jesus is, good though that is, and it's important, we've just underlined it, information is not just a feature by itself. The young consultant was a brilliant physician. He was a renowned expert on everything associated with the disease. But he died of lung cancer, the very thing that he specialized in. Transpired that he was an extremely heavy smoker. Well, I've made all of that up, though I don't think it's an impossible scenario. But the point is that we can have all the information that tells us how we should avoid a certain disease or what causes it, and yet behave in a way that is totally inconsistent with all of that knowledge. John's whole point and argument is that if you love God, then you will love your fellow believer. And by loving your fellow believer, you will show that you love God. So this knowledge isn't just a kind of an academic exercise. It's not an intellectual expertise. Rather, it's lived out in the daily humdrum and relationship of life. So how is love lived out? We can all talk about it. We can all pray about it. But actually, what does it look like? When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, there was a couple of ladies who were having an argument, it seems. They had a fallout. They were called Eudaia and Syntyche. And in chapter 4 of that book, Paul says, listen, I want Eudaia and Syntyche, I want you to agree. I want you to come to an agreement. I want you to come to a harmony together. And he says to the fellowship that they should help Eudaia and Syntyche do this, because these women are actually valued by Paul. They're good for the gospel. So do and make every effort to ensure that that love is expressed. And it seems to me that they are to love each other then. And it's to be seen in repairing some fallout, some fault line that's appeared, and to carefully and sincerely gather and work it out. It were called in another place to maintain the unity of the peace. That might not always be easy, but seems to be a very strong feature in the New Testament. We're called and told by Paul not to lie to one another. And in another place, we're told put on compassion, kindness, humility, forgiving one another. So the practical nature of how we love one another actually will extend into very practical areas of life. When it means to, if we have a disagreement and a debate and we have a fallout, well, how will it look? What will happen? Well, if we love one another, if we love God, then it's going to be shown in how we repair that relationship and deal with it. We will show acts of kindness as appropriate, and they will not be discriminate acts. Say, it will be for all people. We'll be able to pray for all of the church. And so we should. That's the signs, it seems to me, of expressing love. And so let's show that compassion. Let's show that love. And may God enable us, because it's going to be a display that we love God, that he loves us. It's going to be an evidence of our walk in Christ. The last thing is verses 2 and 3, and how we behave. So we've already kind of touched upon that a little bit, but it follows on from loving in terms of how we conduct ourselves, how we live, and how we consider the will of God and our submission to that will, to what God wants us to do. There's an obedience to his commands. That's seemingly what John is saying. It was Jesus, of course, that set the tone himself of living for his Father. Gethsemane is something that we could never do, but the precursor to Christ's death on the cross for your sin and mine. Jesus is in the garden and he's praying. What does he pray? Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Doing the Father's will is what must be done, and that's out of a love relationship that we've just been talking about, and that John is displaying for us in our lives. Jesus says what he says out of his love for the Father. It then explains something of what John means when he says, we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So John is not saying, when he says they're not burdensome, he's not saying that living this life and following Christ and doing his will is the easy option. In fact, to be called to love in this way, as the text is teaching it, might even go against all that we would prefer. We don't want to love. We don't want to submit. We want to live our own way. We self will dominate. So not being burdensome is not saying everything is straightforward and it's all going to be nice and easy. In fact, if we have this willing obedience that John is talking about, it will be selfless serving. It will be sacrificial giving, which might fly in the face of contemporary thinking and our own experience. I want to live life in my way. It does sound to be very restrictive. Here it is, you've got to do these laws, that keep these rules. It sounds restrictive, being beholden to someone else. Well, John is actually saying the opposite. If you follow God's way and you follow his law and you do his will, it's liberating, it's freeing, and it's releasing. There's a desire to please. This may be compromised and corrupted by our passion and self-centered ways, but at heart, we do want to please God, seeking to do what he would have us to do. And that becomes our joy and rest. It was Augustine of Hippo, strange title, but he was an early church father, and he came from Hippo, and this is what he said. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our rest, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. It's actually what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. He says this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Pharisees had made following God a massive to-do list. There was no one that could fully keep that law in the minute detail. It was impossible. But Jesus' point is that the law-keeping and doing is functional when in relationship with him. And John's point is that we don't keep the law to be in relationship with Jesus. We are in relationship with God, so we want to do his will and keep his commandments. That's why they're not burdensome. It's not earning my salvation. It's not me having to do this to please God and keep God happy. No, I'm doing this because God loves me and because we want to reciprocate that love and share in it. It will be a struggle, as we've indicated. We live in the flesh. There is a sense where, though we should delight to do his will, that we will love his law more and more, because we know his love and we know the desire to please him. And the keeping and doing of that then is not burdensome. It's not duty filled, but it's out of devotion and desire and our affections are captured by our Saviour. That really is the heart of it. Captivated by Christ enables us to see these things out of good pleasure and wonderful experience in following him. So all of this combines to ensure that we are overcomers. What's the overcomers? John might be suggesting that they've overcome the false teachers. He might be suggesting that they're overcoming in terms of resisting so that they may can live those lives that they should. It's not saying that they are never going to sin, because he said as much in chapter 1. We know that we will sin, but we confess. We have an advocate. We have one who will speak on our behalf. We have got one who is with us. But these elements, these three truths that he's been applying before them, chapter after chapter, those are the elements that as they are identified, here we have the people of God, and so they're able to deal and live for God in the world that they find themselves. So any ability to live as we need to live will do so because of this threefold cord that's the fixture of our lives: belief, love, and obedience. Here they're playing out time after time in these chapters, and we'll see them in practical terms, God willing, next week when we finish off the chapter. So let's live in the joy of the gospel. Let's be equipped to face the moment. Let's be dependent upon God. Let the joy of our Lord be our strength. Very interesting to note that really everything comes out of God's love for us. Fully and finally, that has to be the case. And God's shown his love for us in sending Jesus. I would, as I conclude this morning, just bring your attention again to the great invitation of Jesus Christ to you this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he calls you. He calls you to a life that is not burdensome. He calls you to a life that is not restrictive and is freeing and is liberating. Why? Because he deals with your sin. He deals with that which would separate us from God. And he gives of himself, and he enables us to live for him. Struggle though it may be, but now it's a different outlook because Christ is our King and we want to serve him. And if you do love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you in your studies. Let me encourage you in your prayers. Let me encourage you in your conversation with other Christians. Delve deep and discuss long on the great beauties of Christ. Chat about all the other stuff for sure. Maybe even disagree, but see the beauty of the King. Go there, because that's the thing that's going to enable you and equip you in the days as we're tested. May God help you, and may God help me. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to conclude with our final hymn, as Kay and Jenny will be leading us in that. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you this morning. We do rejoice in your kingship, in your beauty, in your majesty. Oh, gracious God, thank you that you've given us the eye of faith, and we come to see our loving Saviour, our beautiful King, our great Redeemer. Lord, may we be captivated today with Jesus. Be with us now. Bless us, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Our final hymn, as we share together, is the hymn, Hide Away in the Love of Jesus. Let's hear that. Let's participate as we are able. Let's share together in the great truths as they're sung to us.
hide away.
Close in prayer, but before we do so, I remind you that we will, of course, God willing, be back here next Sunday morning, live streaming at 11 o'clock. Do join with us as we share together. Let me pray. So for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.
Amen.